Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, a children's moment from our youth pastor, Justin Livingston, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor, Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m. and in our parking lot for our drive-in service at 11:30 a.m. here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. We welcome you to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you are here today. It's a beautiful day to be together as a church family. I'm Dave Yonker. I'm a senior pastor here. It's my pleasure to welcome you to worship. For those of us inside of our sanctuary and to our many friends who are joining us on Facebook Live or through our church website this morning, it is good to be together on this Pentecost Sunday to feel the presence of Christ moving through us and filling us and blessing us. And so it is good to come together for worship this morning. As we have gathered for worship, we welcome you. If this is your first time with us being in person or online, we hope that worship fills your spirit and renews you in your own journey of faith. If you're here inside of our sanctuary and this is your first time, we hope that worship fills you and blesses you. And we hope that you'll stop by our welcome center right outside the main sanctuary doors after church today. We have a gift for you as being our guest, and so we hope that you will take it home and then come back for worship with us next Sunday morning as well. For our friends who are joining us online, a little note about our worship service. We have communion every single time that we get together for church. And so we invite you to have ready the elements of communion that you will need there at your house. And so if it's bread and juice and grapes and crackers, whatever you have is good enough as we celebrate communion later on in worship together. For those of us inside of our church, we hope that you stopped by the table on your way in and picked up one of our little all-in-one communion kits. We'll need those for communion later on in worship. And if you didn't grab one, you can always run out and get one whenever we stand up here in a few minutes. Also, for those of us inside of our church, on the right-hand side of your worship bulletin is a little tear-off sheet. And so we invite you to tear it off now and fill it out. And let us know that you were here with us in worship today. On the back side, you can check one of those boxes if you'd like to know more information about life and ministry in our church. You can also jot down prayer concerns or praises that you may have. And after you fill it out, you can drop it in the offering plates, which are located outside the sanctuary doors. There's kind of one on both the left and the right-hand side. And so after you fill out your tear-off sheet, you can take it out with you as you leave the sanctuary following worship today. One last little note about worship for those of us here inside of our sanctuary. We trust that you heard the announcement late last week, a week before last week, from the CDC regarding mask wearing for those who are vaccinated. Our church board of directors had a regular scheduled meeting on Monday of this past week, and so we spent some time talking about what this means and how to implement that for those of us here in our church. And so our board of directors has decided on from this past Monday to phase this change into our church, and so beginning on Sunday, June the 20th, those who are fully vaccinated don't need to wear a mask when they come to worship. But those who are not vaccinated, including kids 11 and under, should continue to wear masks. We, of course, won't be checking your vaccination card on the way in or asking anybody about their vaccination status. But the board decided to phase this change in to allow those who are just getting vaccinated now to kind of reach fully vaccinated status. It helps us and it allows us, kind of buys us some time to communicate this change. And allow us the percentage of those vaccinated in Iowa to kind of keep on rising slowly but surely. A little pastoral note about talking about healthcare in the midst of church. We know this is a very sticky topic. We know people in our church who have not come back inside the sanctuary because we have a mask requirement now. We also know along the same lines that we have folks who have come to our church simply because we have a mask requirement, and so that is certainly wonderful. Like everything in life, we are a mix of all of God's people, and we take that as a gift and a wonderful blessing. And so as we kind of lead up to Sunday, June the 20th, whenever we reach that day and kind of keep on worshiping together, you are able to mask as you are comfortable. Our pastoral staff, we're going to keep on wearing masks because we interact with hundreds of people every single Sunday, and so we want to keep you all safe. We certainly appreciate your grace and your openness as we've come through these awful pandemic months together. And it kind of goes without saying that for me, this has been some of the most trying and stressful times of my life and ministry. I'm just glad that y'all are here, because there's a long time when you weren't here. But so I'm glad that y'all are here, and we're glad that our friends are joining us online and have been coming to our drive-in worship service. And so if you'd like to read the full statement from our church board meeting, there are copies located outside the sanctuary there at the Welcome Center. You can also read it online, and it was in our church newsletter this past week. Looking ahead to this week, we are still collecting for one more Sunday our special Pentecost offering. This offering helps to start new Disciples of Christ churches throughout the United States and Canada. As we mentioned last week, since the year 2000, we started over 1,000 new Disciples churches. And so our goal is $1,300, and we're just about $400 short. And so your gift today can help us reach that goal. We can't wait for June the 6th, whenever contemporary Christian artist John Tibbs is going to be with us in worship all morning long at all three of our worship services. He's going to be singing with our band and here in this service on that day. And so we know that you will want to be here on the 6th of June. And a little note of joy on this Pentecost Sunday. Today is the one-year anniversary of our drive-in worship service. A year ago, up to this point in the pandemic, we were online only. And so we started a drive-in service on a beautiful Sunday morning when it was not raining in May. And it was a beautiful day. We got together for worship out in our parking lot, and little did we know that this would be a wonderful part of our church. Every single Sunday, except for two Sundays when it was like 8 below, we took a little break on those days in the depths of winter. But we've welcomed new members and new guests, and we've created a wonderful place to worship God out in God's creation. And so it's been a wonderful blessing to have a drive-in service over these past over this past year. So have a little hand clap of praise for a wonderful year-long of drive-in church. Thanks so much for joining us, for being a part of our church family this morning. Let's stand up and say good morning. You can wave hello to the folks online by waving to the camera up over my head, and remain standing for our opening song.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence lives.
Shall we pray? Spirit of God, we long to be open to your presence in our church and in our lives. Fill us with your wind and fire that we might be enlivened again. Help us hear the words as if for the first time, that they might touch us anew. Come, Holy Spirit, come into our worship, into our church, into our very selves. This we pray in your precious name. Amen. As you're finding your seats, I invite the children to join me this morning for our children's moment.
All right, here we go. Jesus loves me, this
I know. J-E-S-U-S. Oh, for the Bible tells me so. J-E-S-U-S. And he loves me here, and he loves me there, and loves all of us everywhere. Jesus loves me, this I know. J-E-S-U-S.
All right, well, good morning. How are we doing today? Oh, it's good to hear that. Very good. How many of you guys have parents that have told you not to do something, but you really want to do it anyway? All the time, right? Yeah. What if you still do it, don't you? Right? Even though you know it's going to get you into trouble, you still want to do it, right? Yeah. Temptation. How many of you guys have ever heard that word, temptation? Yeah. Well, temptation is something or someone trying to get us to do something that they know is wrong. And temptation isn't unique just to young people. Everybody is always affected by temptation. Old and young, boys and girls, everybody deals with temptation all the time. And it's happened throughout our history. In the Bible, there's lots of stories of people that struggle with temptation. And even there's even a great story about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. But probably the most famous, or at least the story we always remember about temptation, is a story that involves the Garden of Eden. Now, this garden was created by God for two people. Do you guys know who that is? Who did God make the Garden of Eden for? Adam and Eve, right? He created this garden for Adam and Eve. And this is a beautiful and wonderful place. It was full of everything that Adam and Eve could ever want or desire. They could do whatever they wanted in this garden. It's as if your moms and dads would go and buy you guys an amusement park and just say, this is your amusement park. You can do whatever you want in this amusement park. It's full of all your favorite rides, all your favorite food, treats, and games, and it's yours. You and all your friends can come and do whatever you want here. That is what it's like for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But there was one rule. God said you can do whatever you want except this one thing. You cannot eat the fruit from this tree. And for a while, Adam and Eve did a really good job. They did what they were told. They didn't mess with the tree. And they probably walked by that tree each and every day. And they kept wondering, man, I wonder what would happen if we ate the fruit from that tree. Well, one day, you know what? They did it. They ate the fruit from that tree and disobeyed God. And God heard about it. And God went looking for them. And they were hiding from God. But when God found them, guess what they did? They started blaming other people for doing it. Adam blamed Eve for it, and Eve blamed a serpent for getting her to eat that fruit. So has that ever happened to you guys? Has anyone ever been blamed? Have you ever been blamed for something, for doing something that was actually done by someone else?
Yes.
How many of you guys have brothers and sisters? Has your brother or sister blamed you for doing something that they did? What? Oh, yeah. Yeah. It happens all the time. Our brothers and sisters blame us for things that they actually did, right? And it's not a good feeling. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve were doing. They were blaming other people for the things that they had done. And all that God was asking them to do is to do the right thing. God just wanted Adam and Eve to do the right thing. And that is exactly what God asked for us to do today. God wants us to do the right thing as well. And the great thing about the God we have and the God that we serve, our God helps us to do the right things. Okay? So you guys have a great, safe week. And the best way we can ask God for help is by praying and talk to Him. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank You that You help us to do the right thing. Thank You for giving us the power to choose the right way. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's kids shout it out.
We pause in the midst of worship today to offer our hearts and minds and our whole selves over to God in a spirit and an attitude of prayer. We remember the people In our church family that we've been thinking about, we remember the places and people that are close to us on our heart that we have not spoken aloud, that only God knows. And so we lift them all to God in the spirit of prayer today. We pray for Pastor Brooke as she is away on vacation today. We look forward to her return with us next Sunday morning. And so let's offer our whole selves over to God in the spirit of prayer. Let's pray. O gracious and loving God, your Holy Spirit came to the disciples, hidden in an upper room in Jerusalem. A violent wind and tongues of fire were symbols of a new thing happening in their lives. Though it was so long ago, we can still feel your Spirit moving in our lives here today. Through our songs and prayers, through communion and silence, we know that you are near. And so we pray that on this Pentecost Sunday that your Holy Spirit might burst into our lives once again, encouraging us, inspiring us to proclaim boldly the good news of Jesus Christ, who offers us healing and hope. O loving God, we long to be no more open to your presence in our church and our lives. Fill us with your wind and fire that we might be enlivened again. Help us to hear the words as if for the very first time, that they might touch us anew. Give us visions and dreams of what you long for in your creation, that we might begin to live them into reality. It is our desire and hope to be a part of your healing love and mercy. We want to be people who bear the word that your love for us is eternal, that Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, proclaimed and taught that love in all that he did and said, modeling for us a new way to live. And so we pray, O gracious God, that you might pick us up, propel us forward into your world. Help us to remember that you have given to us all that we need to be your disciples of Christ. All that we need to do is offer a resounding yes to you, and your Spirit is there. Here today, in the midst of worship, we offer to you those places and people that are close to us. We pray for our loved ones and friends and hospital beds and care centers. We pray for those recovering from surgeries and all those who have received difficult news this past week. We give you thanks for your abiding and guiding presence in our lives in these past 15 pandemic months. We know that it has been your Holy Spirit and your guidance that has brought us this far. We thank you for the wondrous patience and blessings that you pour into our lives each and every day, as we offer our lives back to you in joy and hope. And so we ask now that you might hear us as we join our voices together now by saying, Our Father. On this Pentecost Sunday, our scripture reading comes to us from the Old Testament prophet of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. We invite the Spirit of God to be upon us as we hear God's word read in the midst of worship this morning. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, Mortal, can these bones live? I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me,
prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet a vast multitude. Then he said to me, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open up your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God today for it. It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up in its glowing. For that's how it is with God's love. Once you have experienced it, you spread his love to everyone, and you want to pass it on. It just starts with a tiny little spark, a little bit of flint, a little bit of kindling, and a few small branches. Some rolled up newspaper, a few small twigs with a match is enough to get a fire started and going. And once that small flame begins, with some air, some breath, some breeze, a little bit of rushing wind, that little tiny flame can turn then into a huge raging fire. It's big enough, we know, to engulf a house, take down a whole community, set a community on fire. And it all starts with a tiny little bit of a spark. For over 90 years, the students at Texas A&M University built this huge bonfire on the weekend when their football team played the University of Texas Longhorn football team. Now, whenever we think about a bonfire, we think of that tiny little spark that can then turn to a fire. We're thinking about like a fire pit that maybe sits on like your back porch or like your back patio. Like if you go camping, like over a weekend sometime, you'll have like a little bonfire there to make breakfast and lunch and dinner. Something to kind of warm you up on a cool night. Or maybe make s'mores on like a summertime night. But because you know that everything is bigger in Texas, this was no ordinary bonfire. It was massive. It was a huge event. It was a structure that was like four levels high. It reached hundreds of feet into the air. And before a tragic accident in 1999 that caused the end of this tradition, students would spend months getting ready for this one huge bonfire event. They had a whole layout and design ready to go for this event. And when it was all ready, they wouldn't just like light it with like a little match and like a little bit of the day's newspaper, but they would douse this stack of woods with jet fuel and then light the match and then sing and dance and watch it burn together. I'm not sure how good those marshmallows tasted after burning it with jet fuel, but it was a beast of a bonfire, right? It's like that. It doesn't take much of a spark, as that old church camp song says, not much of a spark to get a fire going. Today, of all the days in the life of the church, this is the Holy Spirit's day to shine. This is the day when that tiny little spark of the Holy Spirit took a hold and set the church, all of us, on fire. It's the day to wear red and celebrate the birthday of the church, the beginning of this new movement of people following Jesus Christ together. We know, of course, that God's Spirit has been moving throughout all of creation for all the years and all the millenniums. God's Spirit has been there. God was there whenever there was nothing but chaos. God brought order to it. God created all that we see, the skies and the earth, the heavens, us as human beings. God has been moving through all of creation. And we heard about this in the Old Testament today when God was moving through Ezekiel. The people we know had fallen into despair, had been taken away from their homes into captivity, And so the prophet Ezekiel sees this vision, this dream about where the Spirit is going to move. For him, life was like a valley of nothing but dry, dead bones. Nothing is left living. But God says it won't be this way forever. The Lord says the day will come when the Lord will speak and the Spirit will move across this valley of dry bones. And in it, a word of hope and a word of love will come. Bone upon bone, sinew upon sinew, the breath of God will be breathed into these bones and they will live again. And the Spirit says, where you are now is not where you will remain. These old bones will live because the Spirit of God will be with you, the prophet Ezekiel said. The Spirit moved back then. It was life-giving. It brought good news and words of hope. It kept on going from the Old Testament into the New Testament when Jesus came on the scene, God's Spirit in flesh and bones and body. So after the resurrection, when Jesus had gone back into heaven, the Holy Spirit came and God's breath kept on blowing. We hear all about that today. The Bible story says that all the disciples were in one room together, and while they were there, the Holy Spirit blew in the room and blew the curtains back and knocked the windows off. The Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak in other languages. It came like divided tongues as of fire. And here were these ordinary Galileans, these ordinary dudes who've been following Jesus for years, now given this brand new ability. Suddenly they can speak in other languages. I mean, it's amazing because here are Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and people from languages, people from places we can't even pronounce. Now they're filled with the Spirit. They can hear the word of Jesus Christ speaking right to them. And what happened was that these reluctant disciples who weren't sure what to do when Jesus had gone back to heaven, now they could set the world on fire and tell others what God had done in Jesus Christ with people who didn't act like them or look like them. They could bring people together in the name of Jesus. It was a tiny little spark in that room in Jerusalem that spread everywhere like wildfire. And spread to us. We know about this good news because someone at some point in our life, the Holy Spirit blew through them and shared with us the message of God's love and redemption in Christ. And it all started with a spark. And it's still blowing today. This past week, I read the story about LaTanya Young. She's 44, and she just graduated from Georgia State University. LaTanya's story is amazing. She said that she always had this lifelong goal of going to college and then graduating. But life had kind of thrown her all kinds of curveballs. She'd stopped and she started and stopped and started for a long time. She'd taken long breaks and then gone back again. But she couldn't really get going in her education, she said. Every time she saved up enough money for tuition or some kind of student fees, her kids would need something at their school or there'd be a bill to pay at home. And so she could never get unstuck in life. In fact, for a while she said that she was working in downtown Atlanta as an Uber driver just to pay some extra money for a utility bill. And so as she's driving as an Uber driver one day she picked up this passenger by the name of Kevin Esch. He was leaving a soccer game in downtown Atlanta, and he needed a ride back to his house out in the suburbs, like a 30-minute drive away. And so as they were driving along, LaTanya and Kevin had some time to chat, and so they struck up a conversation. While they're visiting, Kevin asked her what she did in addition to becoming an Uber taxi driver. And so she started to talk about her school and college and her lifelong dream of going back to college and graduating. But she said she could never save up enough money. In fact, she said she was working exactly on that day as an Uber driver to pay a $150 utility bill that was due. They chatted and she dropped him off at home, and whenever he got out of the car, he paid his fare, and he gave her an extra large tip for the ride. He gave her $150 for that hanging on old utility bill. He gave also his phone number, and he said the promise was that she would go back to school and keep him updated on her progress. It became the start of this really unexpected friendship. She said that after that Uber ride, her mind was changed about going back to school. She was motivated to do so. But whenever she tried to enroll there at the old Georgia State University, a few weeks later, she was told that she could not register because she had an unpaid balance of $693 from 8 years before. And that $693 was more than she could ever afford. So she called her new friend Kevin to kind of break the bad news, to say that he was so very generous, but that her dream would never take place. And so unbeknownst to her, he went to Georgia State University and he paid that bill, that $693. He said, I didn't want to be a roadblock for her. I knew that there was something that I could do to help change her life. And it was the right thing to do. As you would expect, she was in shock. Here was this dude that she hardly knew from a 30-minute Uber ride, paying her old tuition bill. She wanted to pay him back, she said, but his response was, pay me back by graduating. So she went back to school, did all of her work, graduated with her associates in December 2019, but didn't stop there, kept on going until she graduated this month with her bachelor's degree. And each of those graduations, there was Kevin sitting in the stands with her family, cheering her on. She was so inspired by his generosity that in the grand scheme of things, it was less than $1,000 that he helped her with. But it made a huge difference. It made a difference and inspired her to keep on going. She finished her degree. She was able to move out of public housing to find a new apartment and begin a new kind of life. Her whole entire life was changed, all because of the kindness and generosity of one person and one small act. She changed her life. See, the Holy Spirit is like that. It only takes a spark to get it going. And soon all those around can warm up in its glowing, because that's how it is with God's love. It is like that in our lives. You never know. We never know the power of what one word can do. We never know how we are going to inspire someone else to live more in God's ways. We never know how the Holy Spirit is going to use us, one act of generosity and blessing and love. And so it is our job to be open. To be open to the Spirit's leading, because it starts with us. And how the Spirit moves through us can change the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.